right, our next speaker is Jacob Kluza. He is also part of our graduate student competition.
Well, hello everybody. Thank you for coming today. So I'm going to talk to you about evaluation of cut flowers in the Northern Great Plains. So introduction. So cut flower market is dominated by foreign imports. And the reason they're dominated by foreign imports is cheap labor, weak currencies, and preferential trade acts that allow international flowers to come in relatively cheaply compared to ours. So U.S. growers have shifted to specialty cut flower production and shifted away from greenhouses into a cheaper structures such as high tunnels and greenhouses. And since this shift has been relatively new, research on high tunnels is relatively limited, but from this research we can gain that high tunnels can be used for season extension to enhance crop quality and yield of cut flowers. But for me, this isn't enough. So when do we produce more cut flowers? How do we produce more cut flowers? For me, like I said, it's just not enough. So the goals of my research were to, you know, quantify this. So quantify early and late season extension in the Northern Great Plains, compare and contrast different cut flower species and cultivars within the high tunnel and field environments, and provide accurate timing data to select which crops are best suited for production in the Northern Great Plains by evaluating temperature at transplanting for different cultivars. So first I want to tell you about what flowers we use. So we use Eustoma or Lysianthus. And the reason we use Lysianthus is because cut flowers are defined as anything that's hard to produce in mass. So the reason Lysianthus would be considered a cut flower is because it has a very staggered germination rate. It requires a cold period that is not, you know, economically feasible to produce in South America. And it's a multi-stem flower. So we use three cultivars of Lysianthus, so double ABC Blue, double Echo Blue, and double Mariachi Misty Blue. And then my next species was Snapdragon, or Antirrhinum. And so the reason we use this as a specialty cut flower is because it's gravitropic, which means it bends with gravity. So any cut flowers that are bent during transportation won't turn out as good as non-bent ones. And then also it has a really limited base life, averaging around 7 days. So it really doesn't lend itself to be imported. So our first variety is Potomac White, and it's a greenhouse forest, which means it's grown in full sun as a seedling, and so it should theoretically be ready to produce immediately when put out into the field. We use Rocket Mix, which is not greenhouse forest, and is a mix of different colors, the Rocket variety, which is a standard cut flower variety. Next, we use Dahlia, because Dahlias are high value. They don't need a cold period, but a cold period would be best for them, for their rhizomes. And so yet again, it's feasibly, you know, it's possible to produce them in South America, but they don't. And so the two varieties we used were Karma Irene and Karma Chocolate, and then Delphinium. And so Delphinium is a United States local. It's a prairie plant. It's a very cold, cold-loving plant. And so yet again, it doesn't produce very well in South America. Also, it produces giant 3-foot stems, which don't, you know, aid in shipping. So my experimental design and analysis. So I chose a very complex design because previous designs have been very simple and do not, you know, answer these questions that I want to answer. So I used a split in time with an RCBD design. Each species was considered a separate environment or a separate experiment as well as environment. So I collected multiple data points, stem number, stem length, caliper, inflorescence, so lots of morphological data. I used ANOVA with two keys on a significant difference test at 0.05, and I used SAS to evaluate all this. So, like I said, as you can see, I used a split plot in time, and so my first split is cultivar, and so you can see here the two cultivars of Dahlia, and then you can see that's that first split, and then my second split is temperature, so then that's what these are. So left hand is 55 degrees or 14 degrees Celsius, and the right hand is 65 or 19 degrees Celsius. And here is a little diagram of how I designed my blocks, my individual blocks. So for Dahlia, I used a 1 meter by 2.75 meter squared box, each spaced about 2 feet apart or 61 centimeters. And I did this because if you grow Dahlias, you know you can't space them anything less than 2 feet because they're going to be severely reduced in yield. And for the rest of them, Lysianthus, Delphinium, and Snapdragon, I used a half meter by meter block, which makes it a little bit easier to calculate stems per meter squared. And they were spaced about 23 centimeters, about 8 inches apart. And that's well within the 4 to 12 inches spacing that normally goes on during cut flower production. So getting into my results. So first we're going to take a look at cultivar. And so, like I said, each one of these is treated as a separate experiment. And what I really like to highlight, you know, is between Potomac White and Rocket Mix. You can see that Rocket Mix averaged, you know, nearly a 200% increase than Potomac White, and almost a threefold increase in the field. And both of these were statistically significant. And so Lysianthus, a cold-loving plant, showed no statistical difference in the high tunnel, but showed statistical difference in the field. Looking at Dahlia, in the high tunnel, you can see that Karma Chocolate produced the least amount of the two varieties. You know, Irene produced twice as much as Karma Chocolate, and that goes the same for the field. And as you can see, most of these field numbers are greatly reduced from the high tunnel, but most of the trends hold true, except for this one. And with Delphinium, you know, we found that Giant Mix produced twice as many stems as Pacific Mix, and that was significant in the high tunnel, but not significant in the field. Now looking at temperature results, these are probably the most interesting results. Concentrating on Snapdragon, you can see that the 14 degrees Celsius or 55 degrees soil temperature had a 250% increase in stems per plant or average stems per period versus the 19. And that I thought is very significant. And the only other one that showed this result was the field of Dahlia, which averaged a twofold increase. So now I want to get to the main part of my project, which is cut flower production by species through time. And so, like I said, I wanted to quantify production through time to evaluate extension. And so first we're going to look at Lysianthus production through time in Williston. And so Williston is one of my two sites. And so here you can see it's a nice Gaussian curve with a little hump on the back. And so the numbers, significant numbers, these guys are significantly different from the rest. And this is what I'm going to identify as a main production sequence. So you can see here periods 3, period 4, and period 5 are a main production sequence. And I'll just explain my axis. And so on this side is average stems per period. And this is a period, and a period is a 3-week growing time frame. And the reason I chose a 3-week growing time frame is the inherent variability of cut flowers. 1 week you can have 100 stems, and the next week you can have 0 stems. So that goes up and down and up and down and up and down with lots of variation and lots of, you know, you're going to have low sensitivity to changes. So what we used was 3-week periods, enough to allow the flowers to grow back and set another growth of flower buds. And so that reduced variation and gives us these nice lines that I use polynomial regression. And you can see here in my R-squared, it is 99. So it overall covered this growth very well. Now looking at snapdragons, you can see here that the main production sequence was identified as the second week, or the second period, sorry. And this is a significant result. This follows previous research that suggests that snapdragons start out high and decline relatively fast and go down low. But yet again, you can see here a little hump suggesting that, you know, high tunnels may have some advantages near the end. Now looking at dahlias, the dahlias had a little bit more complex. You can see three main humps here. Period 5 was identified as the main production sequence. Periods 4 and period 7 as a secondary production sequence. And in between, you know, is the, you know, the gradual shift between the two. And at Delphinium, periods 3, periods 4, and periods 5 identified as primary. Period 6 as secondary. Same with period 2. And the rest of them as just a tertiary production sequence. So now looking at cut flower species through time in the field. So yet again, we'll look at Lysianthus, polynomial regression. We can see again 3, 4, and 5 identified as main production sequence. We can see the main Gaussian curve here, but it's absent of that little hump there, and that's because of frost. So yet again, snapdragons, you know, they follow that same curve where it starts up high and drops low. But for the field, we identified three main production sequence with periods 3 and periods 4, you know, being significantly different from period 2, which was, again, the maximum. And again, our R-squared was high enough to be considered significant. So Dahlias, you can see, it kind of has the same shape as the last graph, about three main humps, it's just shifted down. And so that's pretty much the general trend with the field. They all follow the same general shapes, but are just shifted down. And so this one, period 4, was identified in its own main production sequence. Looking at delphinium, yet again, just a little bit flat curve, you know, producing a little bit of flowers over a long period of time. Periods 4, 5, and 6, main production sequence, versus period 3 as a secondary. So now I get to the comparison of the two, and this is where I think you can gain the most information. So this is, both of these are plotted on the same axis, and you can see here that, you know, again, this is average stems per period. And you can see here that field produced more. And if you look at this graph, this is a graphical representation of the difference. So blue is when high tunnel production is dominating, and red is when field production is dominating. So, you know, looking again, you can see field production dominated early, but during the middle sequence, high tunnels eventually overcame it, and then there's a gain at the end. So looking here, you can see the exact same thing. You know, field dominated, and then there's a little dip. So this is showing you when it's producing and how it's producing. So, you know, for here, you would say that, you know, high tunnel had advantage early, or middle and late. Now looking for snapdragons, you can see that this hump is pretty big early. So for snapdragons, you're getting your increase early. So for this is just the main sequence of the field production. You can see it's just shifted a little bit over. And so that's the reason field production, you know, showed up as a increase in or a domination in production. And then again, you see the middle gain and the end gain. So Dahlias is what I consider the most significant in time. You can see that, you know, early on there's an increase, but as you go on to the middle sequence, you can start to see an overall increase. And that, you know, here we're averaging 20 more stems per period in period 5, 6, and 7, and 8 than we were, you know, with the field. And so this, for this crop, I would definitely suggest you grow into high tunnel because the difference in production between the two was vastly different. So now looking at comparisons of delphinium, and you can see both of them flat Gaussian curves, but the high tunnel had a bigger, wider curve, and you can see that again here where the high tunnel dominated throughout time continuously. And so summary of my results is, yes, there were cultivar differences observed, mainly in snapdragon and dahlias, and so that could be the reason some people are producing more flowers than just the high tunnel. Soil temperature affected total number of stems for snapdragon and dahlias, and for these two species, I would suggest you get them in the high tunnel as early as possible to get the most amount of gain in production from that structure. And then high tunnels had a production over the field late in season for all species, but it had a significant advantage for snapdragons early in the season. And so with that, I'd like to thank the Specialty Crop Block Program of the USDA, Esther McGinnis, Harleen Hatterman Valenti, and Kyla Splickle. And I will take questions. We'll start over there in the blue. We bought in plugs just due to uniformity. Lysianthus, like I said, has that staggered germination percentage and lots of them rosette. So if you buy in a certain amount of, you know, pre-grown Lysianthus, it just helped with controlling my variation from year to year. No. So it's based on soil temperature. Reason we did soil temperature is because it's arbitrary just to say March 19th, especially in North Dakota. You know, March 19th can be 90 degrees one year and 40 degrees the next. So what we wanted to do was standardize it by soil temperature. So I planted, which was May 21st, my first year, and that was at 55 degrees. And then we waited, you know, it was actually 2 weeks before I planted out in the field before it got to 55 degrees. So they're all standardized at a soil temperature and not a date. But I do have dates for them, but that was basically arbitrary for us. And so 55 and 65. And so I didn't plan at the same time. I waited, you know, in the high tunnel when it got to 55. Obviously, it heated up faster in the high tunnel, so I didn't have to wait long between those plantings. But in the field, that difference was attenuated. And so, you know, that gives me some of the difference between, you know, snapdragons, that when you plant early, those heat units accumulate fast, and then you can, you know, grow a better product. Oh, yeah, so that's what these are for. So, you know, the economic advantage. So growing dahlias versus, you know, field in the high tunnel, this is all your economic advantage. And when you integrate this out, this was an average of like 700 stems increase in high tunnel production over field production. And especially with dahlias, which is a high-value crop that can average anywhere between $5 and $10 a stem, you know, that's a significant increase. And so, you know, I would recommend, like I said, dahlias and snapdragons in production for high tunnels, because it increases, you know, a significant increase in production. Versus the other two, which are cold season, there's not enough of a significant increase, you know, 7 stems versus, you know, an average of 20 more. You know, it's just not feasible to grow some of the other ones in high tunnels. So, yep. Yep, so just for this talk, I had to concentrate on number of stems per period. We have all that data. In my abstract, you'll see that just one main point is, so temperature, 55 degrees, increased stem diameter, an average of 20%. So the earlier you planted it, the more time the stems had to, you know, grow out. And so I didn't present this data just because I didn't have the time. But, yeah, we have all that going. Oh, yeah, there were massive quality differences in height and stem diameter, especially for dahlia. We're averaging 24-inch stems with, you know, a half-inch diameter stem, you know. And so I just want to concentrate on main stems because that's what growers care about. Am I going to get more stems? You know, quality is there. There are quality differences, but I just didn't have time to report them.